go on the monthly for silver, and here was some crazy volume right there. I wasn't a fan of, but this is the that $28, $29 level. If we get a solid monthly close above this, goodness, that's gonna be crazy.
Hey Patrick, how you doing, man?
Hi Andy.
Nice to see you here. So we've had some very interesting things going on in the precious metals sector, specifically gold and silver. So it looks like we had a breakout in March, but I want you to fill me in on what you're seeing with the charts.
Yes, it'll be my pleasure. Want me to share? I'll share the screen and let's just dive into it.
Sure. Yeah, dive right in. It's you should have it. Yep, there you go.
There you go. So, when people in the technical analysis world and chart trading world, everything is defined by time frame. But I think even in real life, it is. But with charts, the beauty of it is you're able to really frame the time frame. So let's say I say, in life, you have milestones, but some milestones are daily milestones. Oh, I brush my teeth. It's a milestone. Or I got married, or I'm having kids. Those are like milestones that are measured, the success of them over longer periods of time. And when it comes to charting, people forget all these commonalities and they just throw time out the window. Oh, it's a breakout. And they just imagine the craziest target they could find out there for, let's say, gold. And they say breakout. So let's say they get a weekly defined breakout, and then they assume that crazy $10,000 target for gold, it's a linear, right? Nobody has a hard time imagining the ups and downs, like, in real life, right? It's not every day you're at your best. You're not always at your lows. It goes up and down. But something weird happens to people that trade is it's like they want to get rich overnight. Breakout. I hear that word. Here's the target. I put in 10K. It's going to do 10X. And they think it's going to go in a straight line, right? So, yeah, I just want to preface that in charts, all you could do is you can do and you should do is find the time frame that fits your time horizon. So, I don't know, let's say you want to hold gold for a long period of time. Then you could probably use the yearly candle bars. And here you'll see that gold has been in an uptrend since. Well, for a long time, right? Because if you look at that, that's yearly closes, always closing positive. Like in here, it's only had three-year closes negative. Then it started finding a new trend line. And, it's all about time frames, but these are yearly candles. So if you're thinking about higher price targets, I don't know, let's say you want...
That's actually really helpful, Patrick. That year right there... I mean, and I am guilty of that. Look at that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we all do it because, and even chart traders, at least you're giving yourself the tools, but we're all biased because as soon as we buy something, even you, let's say you buy a new car, you did your research, you're proud of the car, you're going to be biased. You're going to think your car is a little bit better than the other ones because if it's not, then you say, why did I buy it? It's like it hurts your emotional profile to accept that something. And in charts is the same thing. When you're on the sidelines, you're unbiased or you're objective. As soon as you buy it, you're going to look for confirmation bias, right? Some people might be viewing your videos and say, because, oh, I'm in gold. I want to know, is my investment going to go up or down? That's like, then you try to see where the probabilities are. But it's hard to see clearly. And chart traders, we fight that every single day. And the faster somebody accepts that they have ingrained biases or biases, I don't know how to, what's the, my native language is French, though.
Yeah. You're good.
How should I say it, Andy?
Biases? Biases.
Yeah, we have biases ingrained in us.
Right.
And we have to fight that every single day. And charts, it's a tool that could provide you an objective, unbiased way. But there are, if you don't like that time frame, somebody could say, let's say I'm on a shorter time frame and gold's starting to go in a correction and I could probably zoom in. People are going to want to, they'll zoom out, right? They'll find the time frame that matches their bias. But here, you see, look, $4,000 target. If we track this, So let's say I put my path line. So it's not going to be perfect, right? It might go up, down, oops, no, not that one. My path, so up, down, you know, like a natural thing there. It right. could be 2029, and maybe if we have a crazy spike up, maybe 2027. So before you start thinking about 4,000, you should manage your expectations that this is the trend right now. It could go bonkers and faster up, but this, we're going to be in this range there going up unless the range starts accelerating. So this helps mitigate your expectations. So whether you got in at 1900, 1200, if that's the long-term trend. So those higher up targets are definitely possible. And I'll tell you, there's no reason to think you cannot get to 10,000, but it's a question of time. And as long as the price stays above that rising trend line, you have bullish momentum. It's mathematics, right? You're doing higher lows and you're doing higher highs. That's an uptrend. So as long as that keeps doing it, and I have to insert this little tangent here or segue. Guys, because I drew this line here, people think if that line breaks down, oh, you failed in your prediction. Look, it doesn't work that way. It's about probabilities. Right now, the trend's up. And the probabilities are, as long as you stay above, you will keep trending up. Eventually, we're going to run out of steam. There'll be a breakdown. The momentum's going to break down. Something's going to happen. Then you're going to do a retest. And if the retest fails, then after that, you know, this becomes a possibility. But this, the move down for gold is only a possibility after you break a rising trend line. So the bias, your directional bias right now is up until the chart proves you otherwise. Because if I do it here, because that trend line is in hindsight, right? We have a new low here. But back in the 2011 run, I had a rising trend line here. And right. It's the same thought process. I have a rising trend line. As soon as we close below, then the possibilities of going sideways or down, that's what you have to look at, right? You're in neutral. The momentum's slowing down. So now after that, well, I'm redrawing the chart there, but you slowed down. This could have actually went down. Like that could have kept going down, you know? There's no... Look, yeah. It's like you're going on the highway. You're going at 100 kilometers an hour. Before you could go in reverse. You have to slow down and stop. Then you could go in reverse. So charts will give you clues before there's a crazy, you know, new bear market there. This will slow down. And then after that, it'll break down. But yeah, right now on that time frame, it's great. I could go
That's
in.
That's very helpful. It's very helpful to see that on a 12 months.
Yeah, and check it once a year on the 1 month. It's like, this is another trick, guys. Every time frame, if it's a yearly candle chart, it will only give you a signal on the yearly close. So once a year, check the quarterly, the yearly chart. Every quarter, let's go on the quarterly chart here. Here I go quarterly. Every quarter, check the chart. Did I have a close below a rising trend line here or something? See here, you had a quarterly close below it. That should have been a big warning to step aside because this creates bag holders, right? When the price goes up, a lot of people buy. If the price goes below that, and in a meaningful way, all these people are now trapped and their resistance because they're the bag holders, right? They're the people about yeah. in the FOMO. They're going to sell. So you need sideways move time for these people to give up. Okay, man, that sucks. They move on yeah. to something else. So now the price could reinflate later on with less resistance, right? And that's why we want to play the breakouts. Quarterly chart looks great for gold. There's nothing, you know, we had a quarter. Okay, so you want to talk about breakouts?
Yeah.
There's a quarterly defined breakout for gold in October, November, in Q4 of 2023. So just like 2 quarters ago, and now we're in Q2 now, closing in the end of June. We have a confirmed breakout. Confirmed. It's done. It doesn't mean we're going to the moon, but it tells you that the probabilities, when somebody says confirmed breakout, they're just telling you that it's not 100% that you're going to go to the moon forever. But they're telling you there's more chances now of the price going up than there were when you were below it. Because
right.
breakout lines are actually resistance lines. If you're below it, the resistance. Once you're above, you've converted that resistance into support. So now back tests of it, you know, it becomes support. So now you're on the way up. So quarterly defined breakout. Yearlies, we had a confirmed breakout a while back. Here's the monthly. Remove drawings. We even had a monthly defined breakout back in November of 2023. So while the quarterly breakout was morphing into existence and needed that December close of 2023, you had a monthly confirmed breakout there. It's done.
Got it. My question is, now, do you expect it to come down here and just that breakout line there?
The question everybody wants to know, like, where's the breakout? I'll show you what I do there to know if I'm at risk of, look, a monthly defined correction will start off on the daily. So if I zoom in on the smaller timeframes, a turnaround. So let's say all the timeframes are going up together. Before the monthly starts showing that it's going to turn, it has to show signs that it's going to turn on the smaller timeframes. So if you want to know if it's going to go test that dashed line here that I drew on the monthly, you have to zoom in on the daily. And we had clues back here. Like, I know for our members on our website, we mentioned this. You had here is distance from the 36 period moving average. So this is the distance from the 36 day moving average. And when it's stretched, it's formal time. I could draw a line here. So you could see this from a statistical probabilities. Most of the points here, most of the touches, if I would draw horizontal lines here, they're in a range. The more you get away from that moving average, the more the price has exploded, the more people are talking about it because they're happy, they're making money, and you know, it's like a self-fulfilling. You're in outlier territory. So from statistical point of view, being stretched, for a goal to be stretched 9% above its 36-day moving average, they're rarer occasions, right? Like if I zoom out historically, look, they don't happen that often. So you got to say, I'm in outlier territory. So what does that mean? Price often will need to reset. It needs either price, a correction is either price and or time. So it's either the price drops down violently and hits the 36-day moving average. That's that red line. I'll remove the 12-day moving average. So that makes the distance from that 36 period catch up, or time. So the price doesn't have to crash. Price could just go sideways, but the moving average will just catch up, right? Because you have sample rates above, but you're not distanced, they're not higher the sample rate, so the moving average will catch up. And that's what gold did actually, or still doing, since we had that momentum breakdown. So now the momentum still has not broken out for gold. You would probably need something like this, or you see a momentum breakout where the price is coiled and tight, and you have price breakout and momentum breakout. Now, people might be getting happy, but here's a wall, previous support turn resistance. There's probably going to be another line like this one here that's going to morph into existence. We're not quite sure where it is. This line also, not quite sure where it's going to be here. So until we close back above this next continuation breakout line, so if the daily chart's breaking out, then the monthly, forget about a pullback on the monthly. How could you have a pullback on the monthly if the daily is going up? You just can't. But right. if this fails to break out, it could drag on, and the longer it drags on this thing, eventually I could reach that line there you talked about, right? It's still here. This is the monthly line. I left it here. So it needs a look. For now, the bias is sideways and up, but if ever it stays here below, and let's say gold loses the 36-day moving average, then you get at risk of going there. So there's no reason to fear that we're going to go back to that line at this stage. It's like we're too early. We did lose momentum, but we're still in a sideways consolidation, and we just have to wait until this resolves, right? This is a pennant, a pole flag. So we just need to wait until this resolves, and then we'll know what the probabilities are.
Question for you, why the 36-day moving average? And I'm glad you're bringing up a moving average because I'm a strong believer in moving averages. But why do you choose the 36-day?
Well, moving averages, they're beautiful because they're unbiased. They're objective, right? It's mathematical. So look, it doesn't matter the moving average length. That's what I tell people. We just started because, you know, I went on the monthly and looked, 12 months, it's a calendar year. 36 months is just a multiple of a calendar year. And we can't have moving averages. You should tune them to get the most reaction points to where a chart has previously failed when it closed below it. So look, here's gold. See, it stayed pretty much above the 12-month moving average, and it stayed pretty much on the above the 36-month moving average. And the 36 was the GFC, right? It bounced right there.
Got it.
But over time, different instruments move faster than others. If you, good luck using a 36-month moving average on crypto, the signal is going to be like, even a 12-month, they're too,
right.
So you should tune. But because we're kind of lazy and we were looking at a lot of charts all the time, this was a kind of a logical fit. It works great with stocks, you know, that have calendar years, fiscal years.
Right.
It just works great, that multiple. So if I want to go on the daily, I know people like, oh, the 50-day, the 150-day, and they swear by it. Look, there's no magic. It just, for me, it's easy because all I have to do is change the time frame and I don't have to go play around with all my indicators. You know, it just, I just zoom in and add that 12-day, that 36. What's important is just the reaction of the price on those moving averages. So if I want to know if that 36-period moving average is a good resistance or good support, then I have to look historically, has it been a good support? And if it's always went through that support and not, or bounced way above it and bounced way below it, then I know it's less meaningful. I would probably have to, for that instrument, I would probably have to go here and just input, you know, I would have to increase the length and do a best fit, you know, to find the best fit of that moving average. See here, the 12 month, I could have probably extended it here to make it a better fit, you know? And once you get the one that has the most touches, like a trend line, right? A trend line should have the more reactions on the trend line, the more valid it is. Same thing for the moving average.
Right. So we had this breakout in October, according to the 12 months here. So we're just going sideways. We're just grinding it out right now. And then we're going to see what it's going to do. Is that correct? What I just said?
Yes, 100%. I could look at silver if you want. We could do a...
Yeah, let's look at silver.
So silver, I'll remove all my drawings. Silver here did the same thing. It had a rising trend line. It closed below the 12-day moving average. I had a loss.
I'm sorry, what? This is the this is daily. The daily chart?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it did all that. But then after that, it started, it's looking pretty good, silver, actually, now. So this line there that I had for gold that hasn't morphed into existence yet.
Yeah.
Starting, you see, I had a reaction here. And if you want to know where the reactions are, just go on the line chart. Mm-hmm. And to remove the candle noise or step line. And you need three touches on the line for it to morph into existence. So it's not quite a line here. It's, look, sometimes when you can't have a clear trend line, look at the high volume node here. That is, here what I have on the right-hand scale is how much, at what price volume was traded. So here at the bottom, it's how much volume was per day, but mm-hmm. this is per price. So the higher the volume node, the more I know the price oscillated in that region, creating a base. So here, even if I'm not able to, you know, draw a technically valid trend line, I look at the high volume node and I say, goodness, if I'm above that, that's support. If I'm below that, that's resistance. So if price is able to go up above that high volume node and eventually retest it, it's giving me clues before my valid trend line morphs into existence.
Got it.
So silver's so
like
ahead of gold.
A lot of sellers there at 28, 42, huh?
Yes. Here was a blow off top, high volume. People often they say high volume. Oh, I love it. No, it depends where it happens. You'll find high volume at tops. You'll have high volume at bottoms, and you'll have low volume, but volume that's starting to move up on breakouts. So here you had low volume. Volume started to go up. That's good. But when you get crazy type of volume, often those are tops, especially if you look at the distance from moving average. You see silver was super stretched back here. Look, if I zoom out there, goodness, like that was a rare occasion there that silver was that stretched above the moving average. So it was just begging here for correction. And what I would love to see silver, though, I would rather it do create a bigger pattern there here, for sure.
Go sideways and consolidate around that number.
Yes. Because I'll zoom out to the monthly. So that's just the daily.
Mm-hmm.
Go on the monthly for silver. And here was some crazy volume right there. I wasn't a fan of. But this is the that $28, $29 level, if we get a solid monthly close above this, goodness, that's going to be crazy. Oh man, we're halfway through the month of May there. So we have to see, because I've seen so many people, I think this wick here, with 3 days left and everything like got sold into, I can't remember. It happens all the time. People try to front run breakouts and they get trapped. I used to do that. I used to get trapped. Oh, there's 2 days left in the month. How could that breakout get annihilated? And then the last 2-3 days of the month, -3%, -3%. And then, oh man, I'm trapped.
Right.
It happens to everybody. So this looks great. People say, oh man, I got to get in now, because if I don't get in now, it's going to be 40 by the time. That's your brain playing tricks on you, because you're reading stuff and people talk about solar powered and supply shocks and all that nonsense. It's like, I'm saying it's nonsense because it's secondary to the price, right? Who cares about all those narratives?
Yeah.
Because those narratives are there when the price goes up and they're still there when the price goes down, but nobody's talking about it, right? So what happened to your narrative? That means it's not the narrative driving the price. It's the price creating the visibility on those narratives. So right now, wait, this is good. If ever it closes above, like solidly here, there, above 29, you got to say, goodness, it's good. But on the backside is you're going to be stretched. So here's the distance from the 36-month moving average at the bottom. Well, I can't say no. The low risk entry is when the momentum distance from moving average is low and breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're hitting possible resistance here, distance from moving average. So here, every time it exploded, support, breaks down. Some resistance here, breaks out. So it's kind of a zone here. I could draw a zone. But if we close above here, we could be going into these type of... these kind of crazy melt-ups there where you're able to go above the moving average. And that's crazy stuff there. That's when silver squeeze is trending every day. That's like when all the nonsense starts happening there and everybody starts buying. So,
yeah. Lean into that, probably sell into that.
Well, then you need a plan before you get in, right? So the higher you go up in a trend, the more you're trapped because you want ROI, you want return on where you entered. But if you entered and you weren't looking at the charts and you weren't buying low and coiled, then when the price starts faltering, if it does falter, you don't want to sell because, oh man, I didn't make enough money. And then you hold on. But because you're buying later in the stage of the run, the chances of it exploding and outpacing, it's like somebody who starts accelerating off the starting block, right? He's able to accelerate until he reaches his max speed. That's where you want to get in. When the guy's already max speed and he's been at max speed for hundreds and hundreds of meters, goodness, you think that guy's going to run at max speed forever?
Yeah, he's going to get tired.
He's going to get tired. And we're not looking at the charts. The max speed is often when people talk about it, because people will only talk about something that makes them happy, that made them money. And often when we're talking about it too much, you have to really look at the charts, because I'll tell you this thing. Even if the price does go up after you enter and goes up a lot, it does not mean that your entry was the most efficient entry. It just, you know, sometimes stuff does go crazy, right? And it keeps going up. But was that the lowest risk entry point, buying halfway through a crazy run? I'm not sure. You have to zoom in, right? Zoom in on the smaller time frames. Like even let's say when the run, we'll go back on the daily, like I showed you. And as soon as you know that, this nice consolidation there, let's say we get that consolidation extends, and then, okay, I'll get in on based on that daily defined breakout. But you have to be aware that on the monthly, you could be running out of steam.
Yeah, got it. Let's look at uranium. That's in the news a lot.
Do you want the metal or the miners?
Good question. Let's look at the miners.
Okay, let's do the miners. So the miners, it's a mixed bag, because the miners, the URA one is, it's like the JDX. They're kind of terrible, but somebody wants to have more success with the miners, they should look at the leaders. Let's say like a Cameco, a Boss Energy, a Paladin. They're like the leaders. But okay, let's look at the miners on general, because there's a lot of I don't want to say the word crap, but I just said it. There's a lot of stuff in there.
There is, yeah.
Ah, goodness. Like stuff there, it's just like penny stock. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. So why go in there? I'll show you a trick, guys. Let's say you do URA divided by Cameco, because we know Cameco's a, this is a ratio chart of URA, so priced in Cameco. So if this is going down, that means URA is underperforming Cameco. So when I look at a chart like that, why the hell, sorry, man, the heck would you buy URA when it's a perennial underperformer of Cameco? Just tell me, explain that to me. Because I tell you why. People look at, oh yeah, but URA off bottoms, it went up 10,000%. Cameco cannot do that because it's a mature stock. Well, I don't care about that. Trying to pick bottoms and trying to play percentage moves off bottoms. Everything looks great when it's down to a penny and goes up to a dollar. Of course, that's going to be thousands of percents of, like hundreds of percents of move. Your number one objective is identifying the most probable trend. Then after that, you could leverage, who cares if Cameco moves only 10% and URI moves 50. Then you could leverage Cameco, that trend, using options or whatever, you know, have a bigger position size, you know. But I'd rather be on the outperformers, which give me a higher probability of not having a failed breakout, not having a reversed uptrend, and playing that one, you know, might as well win.
Yeah.
Not win. Who cares about how much you, like, you know, it's, people see we get all enthused, oh, but I'm going to go in the silver junior miners. I'll go in the uranium juniors. They go up tens of thousand percents, but just do that chart. Do any of your penny stock, next gen or whatever. I don't know. I just named next and divide it by, and always, if that chart's looking like that, don't touch it. Just don't
do it.
Let's look at Cameco then, because
let's look at Cameco. Look at that. That's a completely different story.
Yes, Cameco's had a breakout. I'll remove all drawings.
Look at that
here. So Cameco had two. This is a monthly chart. Big base.
Look at my arrow.
It just exploded. Then it consolidated for 2 years, and after that, it's just continuing upwards. Now there's a consolidation flag here. So that's a halfway flag for that bigger pattern target. It's still tricky right now there. So it's trying to get out of there. So again, what's the trick? Zoom in on the smaller time frames.
Mm-hmm. See if it's rolling over.
Yes. See, as soon as that smaller time frame, here is a rising trend line. So this is probably some type of bullish megaphone pattern, very volatile. So you want this to resolve, right? And once that resolves, then that monthly chart we're looking at has a higher chance of going out. See, look, it fully reset here. I probably want to see the momentum. So I want to see this thing explode against a 36-day moving average. So it's still consolidating. There's no, there's nothing happening here. I could go on the weekly to get and even here on the weekly, it's still consolidating. So if I remove this, there's nothing happening there. So this looks, okay. What looks bullish is only bullish once it completes and confirms. So often people, oh, it's a bullish descending wedge. Yeah, but it's descending. You're telling me it's bullish, but the price is going down? What they mean is by those patterns is once a pattern completes, it is that pattern. Until then, it's just a downtrend. So you got to be careful of these flags or these sideway patterns. They're not bullish yet. They could be. They have a higher chance of being bullish. They should resolve upwards, but they don't always do. So please, guys, just wait until the pattern resolves. Because if you're not waiting for the pattern to resolve, you're throwing away the edge that technical analysis is giving you.
Right.
So
let's look at the spot uranium or the price of uranium and see where that's trending. What usually leads? Is it the stocks or the price of uranium?
Look, URA is a perennial loser versus uranium. So if I look here, I'll just do the, so this is uranium, URA, price in uranium. And there's some phases where uranium goes sideways, halts in price, and then the miners go crazy. But right now, there's nothing happening.
Okay.
And the uranium right now is going sideways on the, well, look, here's on the monthly. On the monthly, it did a blow off top.
Yeah.
So it needs, look how far it was above its moving average. Goodness, it's like, what are you people are expecting there? This thing to rock it on forever. And it was crazy, the news, when uranium was 100, remember? 200 uranium, 150, 300. Remember all those numbers getting thrown out?
Yeah.
Confirmation bias. Those channels must have made great, a lot of views. But at the end of the day, it could have went up. But in all honesty, there's a whole bunch of measured moves that were reached. Like this base, breakout, consolidation. Yeah. Look, measured moves, your stretch. So if you want to know when this thing is going to resume upwards.
It really needs to consolidate.
Yeah, it needs to consolidate. And you want it to consolidate. You want it. Do you want this thing to blow off top now and 150, it's the end of the run? Or you want this thing to go to 200-300 without you stressing overnight of a crazy drop, right?
Right.
And look what it is now on the daily chart. It broke below the, it's going sideways now. So it's trying to revive. There's probably this here. There's a wall here. So this is going to be important, the 98. But right now, I have an alert at 94. So at 94, I'm probably going to start looking at this again. So it
got it.
It's doing a beautiful base right here, but it needs to, I don't know how long it's going to need to, let me see. So as soon as this, as soon as 94 is out, breaks out, then we're probably going to have a run all the way back to 99, 100. That's where we have a wall. So a wall is previous support turn resistance. You're obviously seeing these at tops, support at 100, breaks down. Now that's a wall. So if we break 95, 94, we're probably going to have a fast run to 99. And then we'll see where hopefully we get something else like this. And this would probably be much healthier, guys, like much healthier. So I don't know how many days that brings us to July, you know, but that would be, see, look, it did the same thing here. You know, it's just, just need time just to people to give up, you know, like I saw a tweet, the guy says, oh, what's happening to uranium? It's like, good. The more people start giving up, the more this goes sideways, the better it is. But you got to remember, you don't want to hold through that, because if you hold through that, this could also do this, right? This could be remove drawings. This could be a bearish. Oh, it doesn't look too bearish now because it seems to have broken out.
Yeah, that could, I got it.
That could have been a bear flag, right? Down, flag, and then down again, right? There's no reason. We've seen this often, these patterns, these echo bubbles can't regain resistance. And they just fall. So again, like, don't touch this stuff. Don't, the chart's telling you you're at risk of a fall.
Yeah.
You want to be in a situation where there's less risk or more risk. Now you're at more risk. So like, there's no reason to hold. Where you want to hold is when you're above the cloud, above the 12 month, above the 36 month, above resistance. That's where you want to be. You don't want to be when that thing's trying to barely hanging on, you know, hope.
Yeah. Let's lastly, let's round this out, but let's look at oil. That's
all right.
It's another thing that's been in the news.
Yeah. I just posted this on Twitter. I don't like oil. What's happening? Oil, this is on the daily chart. It fell apart back here. It lost a rising trend line in mid April, almost a month ago. Back tested it, you know, a little bit like the uranium. And it fell. It lost a longer. Okay, so this is another important thing: is not all breakout lines are equal. Always give more credit to a flat plane. A flat plane breakout means the momentum is flat, and if you close above a horizontal breakout line, it guarantees you're doing a new high, right? Because you swing high, but as soon as you close above, you're doing a higher high, and you have higher lows. It's an uptrend. These slanted lines. When you break out of these slanted lines, oh, it's a breakout. Yes, you broke out through that line, but there's still downwards momentum, you know, dragging you down. Same thing here on these rising trend lines. You see, it broke down here. It didn't go straight down. There was still upwards momentum. The angle of your line, if it breaks, is just telling you you've lost that momentum as defined by the angle of that line. And the less steep it is, the less upwards momentum, the more you have chances of that thing really, like, you know, See here, rising trend line broken, but look at that. It still carried on upwards, but the next trend line was less steep. And then after that, you end up with a less steep, less steep, less steep. And then you get these, all these great technical patterns that people love to look at, head and shoulders top, all that stuff. It's because what they have a flat plane at the, right. At the bottom.
Right. It's clean.
Yeah. So here in oil, like no touch until that line, until you close back above the 12-day moving average, until you close above this wake-up line, what I call no bueno, because right now you're in a downtrend.
Yeah.
You're just in a downtrend. You just don't know. I know people, oh, yeah, but Patrick, there's support here. Yes. But a bullish pattern hitting support is no good to me until that pattern hitting the support breaks out. So yeah. It's only after it breaks out, that bullish descending pattern that hits support, then you know, ah, that support held. Then you know that support was valid after a retest, after a breakout. So it's this line, guys. Mm-hmm. No, it's like oil's in trouble. It's like, it's kind of sad there, but the market's telling us something. Well, yep. Oil's in trouble.
Yep. Interesting. All right. Anything that looks interesting, else that looks interesting that you're currently looking at?
Well, there was copper, but copper's like getting stretched, but there's good, you know, I think COPEX there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's had a good run.
Oh, goodness.
Look at that. Whoa,
it's aggressive.
That's scary.
Yes, it's scary because my scare level, it's how stretched you are from the moving average. So it was super stretched from the on the daily.
That exploded. Look at that, though.
Lost momentum, but it seems to want to give another go there.
Uh-huh.
So copper's pretty impressive. Wait, let me just put my candle chart. Yeah, see the low risk entry for copper, guys, it was back here there. So it's starting to move up already, and that's why we're talking about it, right? When this thing reaches its target, here, see, that's the target for me there. It's somewhere, yeah, it's here. There was a flag, ball, flag. So it's approaching its... maybe 55 COPEX, maybe a little breather after.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
That was it, Andy, man. We covered everything.
We did. Well, Patrick, I really do appreciate you coming on. If people want more of your work, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, BatChartsOne, guys on Twitter, go have fun there. And of course, there we have a... subscription website there, northstarbatcharts.com there, where I run with my friend Kevin Wadsworth. You might know him as Northstar Charts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's just always, guys, try to be as objective as possible. It's very hard. I know that I used to do some analyses like that were biased, but it's as you grow as a trader that you realize, oh yeah, I was looking at it this way because, you know, I had a position and I wanted it to go up, but be ruthless, be mechanical, and forget all those story clickbait stuff, guys. Stick to the truth, man, the price.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on. You came on such a short notice. I really appreciate it, man. It was good.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.